right, we're going to get into part two of what I shared last Wednesday, and I shared about seeds that's in the Bible, okay? How the word seeds is used in the Bible and the significance of it. And so, and if you remember how important seeds are, seeds carry life. It is the vehicle of life. It brings new life in that it carries on the inheritance, the DNA, from one generation to the next. And it carries those characteristics of life all the way through. You know, God invented seeds for the purpose of propagating life. And how fascinating these seeds are, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You remember some of the information that we talked about the seeds? What was the largest seed?
Double coconut.
double coconut, yes. And the smallest was?
Orchid flower.
An orchid flower. It's 10 billionth of an ounce in weight. So it's pretty minuscule there, huh? And it's amazing how you take a seed. Now think about this. How does producing fruit happen? You take a seed, and it looks like it's not much to it, right? Mm-hmm. You stick it in some dirt, you bury it, and you put some water on it, and as time goes on, little sprouts come up, and eventually it grows, and it produces fruit. It produces what is inherent in that seed, right? Mm-hmm. The DNA, all that stuff just works with a mathematical exactness and a scientific precision. So, you know, main purpose of sharing about these seeds is to see what God says about them. And so we're going to take a look at some other verses. Last week we looked at Matthew 13, where the seed was sown in different ground, right? Where's the wayside, stony ground, thorny ground, good ground. And we saw that it was the Word of God. And that makes sense, doesn't it? God's Word is the essence of life. It is life for the believer anyway, huh? So, why does God use seeds to represent His Word? Well, it carries the essence of life. It propagates. It ensures all the characteristics that are in a seed to make it what it is. It's complete. It gives life. And, you know, even you think about human beings and how we got here, a little seed you can't see, and an egg that you barely could see, and here we are. amazing how all that happens, but yet God knows what He's doing, and it's pretty fantastic, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, a little side note, we talked about, there's a verse in the Bible where Jesus talks about a mustard seed, right? Remember? Mm-hmm. And I want to handle that just briefly with you because it's an interesting question that comes up because the mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the world here. So go to Matthew 17:19 and we'll see something here. I think we'll learn a little something. Matthew 17. Okay. In Matthew 17:19. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 19. Verse 19 says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? You know, it was this, I think, young lad that was possessed, or he was a lunatic, it says in a previous verse. And Jesus talks about their unbelief, because of your unbelief. And verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence be yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So Jesus was making a point. He didn't say, you know, if you have the, you know, to move mountains here, you need a, you need a believing a seed of a double coconut. You know, you need a big seed to do it. No, he said a mustard seed. And in that culture, they recognized, everybody knew that a mustard seed was the smallest seed in their times, in their culture. They didn't know about orchids and all that stuff. And it wasn't like Jesus was teaching botany or anything else. He was using a figure of speech where he was saying the smallest little believing, if you have that little bit of believing, you can remove mountains. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Wow. And so what a great lesson. What a tremendous lesson that was. Just a little bit of believing. Little bit of believing. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. So, something to think about, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, another way that the seeds are used to communicate something in the Bible is family lineage. And go to Luke 20:28, and we'll see how this works. Luke 20:28. Okay. The teacher's always the last one there, huh? Mm-hmm. 20:28. It says, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, I mean, literally, you wonder, you scratch your head, take up seed? You know, what's he talking about here? And it's talking about the seed that gives birth, where you have your offspring, your inheritance, your family lineage, okay? They were concerned about the family lineage staying intact, and it was through that seed, okay? Because the seed would carry that. It would carry the DNA for the family's generation to generation.
My translation says offspring.
Offspring, yeah. Okay. Good, yeah. Let's go to John 7:42. I'm going to beat you this time, I think. John 7:42. You guys with phones, that's no fair.
Your wife got it.
All right. Let's take a look at this. 7:42 in John, it says, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Christ, the Messiah, would come out of David's seed, out of that family lineage of David. And David lived how many years prior to Jesus being born? Hundreds of years, maybe 700-800 years, a long time. But there again, the seed carries the lineage and all the inheritance factors for that particular family, and it was the promised seed back in Genesis 3:15, right?
Right.
Where God gave a promise back in Genesis 3:15 of the Messiah that would come and destroy the adversary. And as this developed in the Word, we saw that this promised seed worked its way through David's lineage. Okay? Now let's go to Romans. Let's go on into the church epistles. We'll go to Romans chapter 4. I hesitated to say the chapter so I could get there. But... All right. <Uh-oh. laughs> Chapter 4, verse 13. Okay. Romans 4, 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. It was a promise. It wasn't a law, okay? This reality of the coming Christ and his seed was not as a result of the law, but it was a promise before the law even came into being. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Okay. Therefore, it is of faith, of believing, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And, you know, Abraham starts this thing going, and he was before the law. So Abraham received, talked with God through a promise. God gave him promises and promised his seed. How many kids would he have?
Thousands.
Stars in the sky.
Yeah, his the progeny that would work through his lineage would be as much as the sand on the sea, you know. Pretty amazing. And that didn't start until he was, 99 years old? Mm-hmm. Wow. That's hanging in there with God, isn't it? You know, talk about, you know, hanging in there with God. You know, things happen. We're looking for God to move and work in situations, and we just sometimes we get frustrated. But I tell you what, you hang in there. You hang in there and have confidence in believing and trust in Him, and He comes through. Abraham hung in there till he was 99 to have his first child. So, great lesson there. Great lesson. Okay, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth or makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Here, the word seed is being used as the lineage here. The lineage in Jesus Christ was that promised seed. Pretty neat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump to verse 25 just to go there. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we should have read verse 24 there, where it says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Pretty neat. All right, Galatians. Galatians. Chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Okay. Verse 16. Now Abraham, now to Abraham and his seed, okay, those inheritance, lineage, were the promises made. He said, not and two seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, what's he talking about?
Christ.
Read on, which is Christ. Which is Christ. That's the seed that counts. Mm-hmm. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God and Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Even though this law came into being, it doesn't negate the promise at all. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by
promise.
Okay, we got to nail that down. Not of the law, but by promise. Pretty neat. Verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And let's jump down here to verse 28. So this seed, the results of the seed was Christ, okay? And that was the ultimate promised seed, the seed that really counted, was the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if our stupid world could look at this and see this, right? No prejudice. I don't care what Jew, Gentile, Greek, whatever, bond, free, rich, poor, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We got in on that. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
To see how that the word seed there is used and through Christ. Pretty neat. Well, I got a few more verses, but let me go to 1 Peter. Maybe we'll close here. We'll see. 1 Peter, I think this is a good verse here for us to recognize. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Okay, so when we're born of corruptible seed, that's the seed that our mom and dad or our dad contributed, and that's going to die eventually, right?
The flesh seed.
Yeah, it's a flesh seed, exactly. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we're born of incorruptible seed. Does that mean it could die in 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,000? No, it's incorruptible. And it's seed, incorruptible seed. And how did we get it? By the word of God. And wasn't it neat that God would use seed and the word of God together? I think that's really fabulous. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth how long?
Forever.
See, the word endures forever. We have that forever reality within us. We have that incorruptible seed in us. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Okay? So, a little bit more on seeds in the Bible. and how it's used. And you and I can be very grateful that we are of incorruptible seed, huh?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So, Father, thank you for how you've loved us and brought us into your family. You just didn't give us a pass card to get in, but it's something that really counts. It's seed. It's living seed. It's incorruptible seed. And that we have this reality forever. So I thank you, Father, that we can recognize that and move forward with great joy in our hearts. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.